We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, the Christmas story. Chances are good you've heard it before. Well, maybe once or twice, I don't know, but depending upon how old you are. I want you to know as we start chapter 2, without the birth of the Messiah, there can be no gospel. You know that, right? Without the birth of the Messiah, there is no good news. And that's just the bottom line. There would be no salvation for sinners. And there would be no way to get back to the Father. There would be no way. People say, why do you celebrate Christmas? Why do you do that? What's the big deal? So Jesus was born. Isn't it more important that he died? First, he had to get here. And he had to get here the right way. And God is spirit. And because God is spirit, spirits don't have blood. And God needed to shed blood for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So God had to become human. He had to take on human flesh. You know, Christmas, or whenever you choose to celebrate the birth of Jesus, you pick the day, because he wasn't born in the winter. You pick the time, that's fine. But when we celebrate, we ought to really celebrate. It ought to be one big, joyous party because he came to earth. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ is one of the foundation stones of the Christian faith. God promised some big promises, and God delivered. And so even though you and I have maybe read this story dozens of times, it's exciting to read it again. And this is what we read. We read this. It came to pass in those days that there was went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar Augustus. He put out the decree. Who was he? We know from history that he was the adopted son of Julius Caesar. He was an adopted son, and he had an attitude. Augustus was not his name. That was a title that he chose for himself. Caesar Augustus. It means the August One. Or in our language, one with godlike qualities. Nice name to give to yourself. I am Caesar, the one with godlike qualities. See, he wanted to be worshipped as God. And you notice the Caesars that followed him also took on those aspects. And wanted to be worshipped as God. Putting many Christians to death because Christians would not worship Caesar as God. Caesar Augustus, you know, he wasn't satisfied with a simple little name like king or emperor or dictator. No, he had to be the one with godlike qualities. And the one with godlike qualities, you know, woke up one morning or through the middle of the night and came up with this idea. I want everybody to be taxed. I want everybody to be taxed. And so I make it an order. The one with godlike qualities decrees that everyone will be taxed. Well, and this taxing was first made by Cyrenius when he was governor of Syria. So verse 3, all went to be taxed. And where did they go? Well, as fate would have it, everyone into his own city. Not the place where that person was born, but the place where the family lineage comes from. So if you were living in Rome, and you were born in Athens, you or your family tree or your lineage comes from Athens, you had to make a trip from Rome all the way back to Athens, Greece. All the way. Whether you could afford it or not, whether you really wanted to take that little vacation time or not, whether anything you felt about it, you had no choice because the one with godlike qualities made a decree, we want to tax the whole world. Now, when we say the whole world, the whole known Roman Empire, the whole civilized world. So I want you to know that that set, and think about it, the entire civilized world, it set the entire civilized world in motion. Millions upon millions of people were now traveling to head back to the city of their lineage so they could just register so that when the tax was due, you couldn't just do it like down at your post office. You had to go back to the place where your family comes from. What a hassle. Each time the government comes up with something stupid, it ends up costing us money. Can you imagine the whining that must have taken place on that day when the law came out in your town? Oh, yeah, you guys, you got to go back to Athens. You have to go back to Texas, you have to go back. Oh, man, all that way to do what? To just register at the little table. So the next time something happens in your life that you think, I can't afford this, or this is what a wrong time for this to happen. Oh, man, you know, we had plans and this is inconvenient. Stop whining and say something like this. God must be doing something. Because even though the one with God-like qualities made the decree, where do you think it actually came from? Why would God want to stir the entire world up and get everybody moving around? Why would he do that? Well, because he promised you that his son, his only son, his only begotten son, would be born in Bethlehem. Now, where is Mary? We left our heroine, we left her way back there in Nazareth, didn't we? Now, how is she going to get down to Bethlehem? Because she's poor. She's engaged to a man that's poor. You ever notice how it's just inconvenient at times? Yet it's actually of God himself at times. Now, because we read this. All went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because, why? Because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Oh, what a hassle. Got to go a little over 90 miles just to do what? Just to show up at a table, make sure they mark my name down so I can go back home and be taxed. This is out of my way. I can't afford this. This is just too much. This must be an attack of the devil. Whine, whine. We pegged the wah meter. Wah. But this is of the Lord. I like it when Caesar, who calls himself the one with God-like qualities, I like it when he thinks he's in control. Because he's not. Because God promised. Let me read to you out of Micah. 700 years before this happens in Luke chapter 2. 700 years before. Micah was a contemporary. He was a prophet. A contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. They lived at the same time. Prophesied at the same time. The same general time. And so about 700 years before it happens, Micah in chapter 5, verse 2, he writes this. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Now who do we know that is from everlasting to everlasting? Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And Micah says, you know, out of you, Bethlehem, shall he come, who? Messiah, the prince. Shall he come forth unto me, who's me? God, the Father. Unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Out of Bethlehem he'll come. Whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. God is coming to earth, and he's coming out of Bethlehem. Now, I don't know, because I've never been pregnant, but that ride, and Mary hasn't said much about it, that ride on a donkey for a little over 90 miles to this pregnant girl, who's right around 16 now, she's been pregnant for 9 months, and the baby is due now. I mean, the doctors are telling her any minute, whatever you do, don't travel. And Joseph says, Mary, I know you're going to laugh when I tell you this. What? We got to go to Bethlehem. We? Why? Well, because the stupid government, man, I wish God would get them. They made a decree, thinks he's God. You know, I don't know. If God was in charge, we wouldn't have to make this trip. Oh, yes, you would. But anyway, we got to go down to Bethlehem. Now, how's this girl pregnant going to have a baby at any moment? Maybe even having contractions right now. How is she going to get there on the back of a donkey for a little over 90 miles? And you didn't just travel 90 miles in an hour and a half. It took days to get down there. Oh, I'm sure that was comfortable. Aren't you glad, praise God, she's a Bible character and doesn't have any emotions or any feelings at all? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. The word that you and I would use is inconvenient. Many times, that's exactly when God is working in your life. He's got the whole world stirred up. Everybody's having to go someplace. Which is going to create a problem for Joseph and Mary when they get down to where they're supposed to go. But Micah told us 700 years before Jesus was born, he would be born in Bethlehem. If you were worried how Mary was going to get down there, she's going to make a long, ugly, hot, dusty trip, having to put up with Joseph and a donkey too. And I'm sure halfway through she could not tell the difference. I've never been pregnant, but people tell me that's exactly the way it was. Because Joseph, he said, just a little further, 50 more miles. It's just around the next, you know how you tell little children, it's just around the next corner. Yeah. This is a miracle. This was that virgin girl the angel appeared to. A complete miracle. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You can call Him Father because of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. And He did it in one of the hardest ways you can imagine. And it wasn't a comfortable trip for His mother nor His dad. They could not afford this trip. It was inconvenient. It was out of their way. It wasn't according to their schedule. It just wasn't the way. Mary, you know, I mean, we're having a baby right now. Now, what's going to guarantee me that between somewhere out there, there are thieves out there, it is hot, it is miserable. What's going to guarantee me I'm not going to have the baby right in the middle of nowhere? Where was your baby born? On a road between Jericho and Jerusalem. You know, that place where all the thieves hang out? I mean, what was going to guarantee it? God. So the next time you get to thinking, oh Lord, I'm in real trouble now. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is going to happen. These things are going to go. What's going to guarantee? God. That's who you're going to look to. That's who you're going to trust. I don't think she felt that well on the way to... Do you? Ladies? Guys go. Guys are thinking, yeah, that would have been hard. Pulling this woman complaining all the way to donkey. Man, stinky donkey. Women are thinking something totally different. That's right. But God's going to keep His promise. And He promised the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. Miraculously. Well, the Bible goes on to say, they went down there, of course, in verse 5 says he was going to be taxed, of course, with Mary, his espoused wife. See, they're still engaged. Being great with child. We're going to have a baby any time. I mean, any time now. And so it was, verse 6, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Could have knocked you over with a feather, huh? You're not surprised at all, are you? The days were accomplished that she should have the baby. She could have the baby in Nazareth. She could have had the baby on the way. But where does she have the baby? Right where God said she would. I wasn't worried at all, were you? No, because it's Bible. Now put it in your life. What's going to happen to you? Are you a Christian? Then he said, you don't need to worry about a thing. I'll take care of you. Oh yeah, but it's hard. I mean, ride a donkey for 90 miles pregnant. And then you go, it was hard. Yeah, our lives can be hard. Joseph and Mary were learning. They were trusting. They were simply obedient. Just like me and you, we're just people. They were just people wanting to be used by God. A little shocked when He actually used them, but they were just people. High-stressed people probably for a little while. And there they go. She brought forth, verse 7, listen closely, her firstborn son. Language insinuating there were others born later. Her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in an animal feeding trough. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, of course, they were poor. You see, anybody with any means could have made some reservations in the inn. So remember, the whole world is on the move now. You know Bethlehem's going to be packed. They are not the only family coming down today, this weekend or whatever. Everybody's coming to different cities. Place is going to be packed full. Where do you think you're going to stay? Well, with no money, you know where you're going to stay. Any place someone will let you stay, that's where. Because the inn was full, because some people would have a little bit of money. Joseph and Mary, you'll see later on, not today, but they didn't have very much. So they stayed in a cave. Now you get this nice crash scene or this manger scene that you see around Christmas time. Those are nice, but it wasn't that way. It was probably a cave carved out of limestone in that area, Bethlehem there. And that's where the animals would be. Now the animals weren't there just the night that the baby was born. Animals have been, that's built for animals. So they've been eating out of this feeding trough many times. And they've been doing other things that animals do around there. Even if you cleaned it up, what do you think it would smell like? Not your normal hospital room. Unless most of the animals were housebroken, and I doubt that. So, you know, you can imagine young Mary, her first baby. What is she going to do with him? Wrap him up in clothing, try to, and Joseph might have put a little bit of straw in an animal feeding trough. I'm sure that was a beauty. And there's where God laid. Now, if that was your kid, you'd be talking to the hospital and saying, you know, I may not have much money, but we're not putting our kid in that. Clean it. But God, see, if it was me, I put these big loudspeakers in the sky, a million watts each, and turn them up loud and play this big, you know, pomp and circumstance or some really big thing, music, so the whole world listens, and I go, oh, world, take a look. I'm going to have my son born at the top of the Marriott Hotel in that spinning room, and he'll glow in the dark, and you'll know. But God didn't do it that way. He sent him to be born in a stable around smelly animals. It wasn't very clean, and poor Mary, this is her first, and she lays him in an animal feeding trough, and this is God in human flesh coming to dwell among us. Because he had to take on flesh, as we read in Galatians 4, made of a woman, made under the law. He, in the flesh, walked sinless, the only one ever. And he paid the price. He shed the blood of God to pay the price for sins. Your sins and for mine. And you say, my life is hard. And Mary said, and so's mine. And Joseph said, so's mine. And Jesus could look at you and said, mine was too. Because see, truth is, Jesus didn't glow in the dark. And nobody cared because there was no room for him. Nobody cared that this little baby was born in a stable, in a cave. And his first bed was a manger, an animal feeding trough. And he came lowly. You know why? To let you know that he is not above spending time with you and me. That he died for you and me, not just for the rich and famous, but for the not so rich and the not so famous. He came lowly, simply. Now, there were, verse 8, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. Shepherds, that was not a nice job. To be a shepherd in these days was a low position. Shepherds did stink. They didn't smell good. They worked around sheep. Try it and you'll see what I mean. The shepherds, that was not a real high calling. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, people looked at him and thought, whoa. That's a lousy job. That's a low job. People didn't want that. But the shepherds were out there just simply in the fields, keeping an eye on their flocks at night there. And verse 9 says, and lo, an angel, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord didn't show where God the Son was. The glory of the Lord shows out in the field. You'd have thought he'd gone into the inn where it was really crowded and people were just kind of drinking and talking to one another and saying, man, we just came down over from Bethlehem or from over here. We just came down from Jerusalem. What a trip. We just came down from Jericho over there. Man, it was hot today. And they're just sharing. No, he didn't go to where all the cool people were. He went out to the lowly. And the angel shows up, and the glory of God. So it's bright out there in the fields. And the angel said to them, of course, what angels have to say to us? Don't be afraid. Because if they didn't say that, we'd fall over. We would. Behold, I bring you good news. The word we use today is gospel. I bring you the gospel of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people everywhere, not just to the Jews, not just to the shepherds, but to the entire world, just like God promised. Good news, great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He just said to those shepherds, you are sinners. You need a Savior. And unto you is born this day in the city of David in Bethlehem a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is born to save the world from sin. You see, without the birth of Jesus Christ, there can be no salvation from sin. Because God had to take on human flesh. What is Jesus called by Isaiah? He's called Emmanuel, God with us. He's called Almighty or Everlasting Father. He is God, Emmanuel, God with us. That's who Jesus was and is and always will be. Interestingly enough, if you think about it, Jesus took off the robes of glory, came down here to take on that fleshly body that he might live sinlessly and then be put to death. Now for eternity, always, forever, he will always be fully God. And think about it, fully man for eternity, willing to do that for you and for me. And he will always be the lamb that was slain for all of eternity. Imagine what he has given up just to come and get you and to take you home. You see, you and I, we can't even fathom that. We don't even want to give up our place in line sometimes. Never mind eternity. Mine! We don't want to give up our place at a parade. And God, the Son, gave up all that so they could pay the price to take you home. How do you get home? All you have to say is yes to Jesus. That's all. You don't have to pay. You don't have to be good. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to give your life to be burned. You don't have to become a preacher. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. And the angel says to the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in an animal feeding trough. I'm telling you right now, those shepherds, when they went to go find the baby, they did not look in any of the inns, in any of the restaurants. They did not look in any of the establishments at all. They started going through every barn and every stable. Because when we find him, here's a sign, that baby's going to be laying in an animal feeding trough. Where are those kept? Not inside in the nice inns. They're kept out in the caves. The stinky, smelly caves. If we want to find the baby that is Messiah, the King, we got to go looking in the stables. He said, that's to be assigned to you. And then verse 13 says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Now wait a minute. A multitude of heavenly hosts. We don't know how many, but there were a multitude. That means millions upon millions. Thousands upon tens, thousands times 10,000. There was just huge numbers of the hosts of heaven, which would have been angels. And they're now stirred up. Can you imagine what it must have been like 1 minute before Jesus was born? Okay, Fred, bring that thing over here. Heaven must have been loud. Okay, all right, bring it up. Get the phone. Somebody get the phone. All right, head down there. I'll be there in 2 minutes. Don't start without me. Can you imagine all the flying and things going on? I'm just making this up. That were going on in heaven at that time. Oh, my goodness, it must have been a mess. And then they all start singing. And what do they say? glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now look around, everybody. On earth, do you see peace? If you do, you can't see. You don't see peace. Do you see goodwill at all? Mm-mm. What went wrong? Well, the angels were saying, glory to God in the highest. Look what God has done. He sent you a Savior. Unto you is born a Savior in the city of David in Bethlehem. For all people. And what did they do to that Savior? They rejected Him. Now you see no peace. You don't see goodwill at all. You see trouble. You'll see peace again. You'll see it all turned around and straightened out when He comes back, because He ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. And He is coming back again to judge the quick and the dead. And of His kingdom, no end. There will be no end. You and I know that. And so we walk a different way by the power of God in this world, don't we? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from the shepherds to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's now go to Bethlehem. Let's go. And let's see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Let's go see this thing which, listen, has happened. I like that. There is no question in the mind of any shepherd. They didn't say, let's go see if this is really true. What did they say? Let's go see this thing which has happened. Let's go find that baby. We know he's there, and it'll be easy to find. Just find the one laying in an animal feeding trough. How many babies do you think that night were laying in a manger? Not too many. Just one. And who was he? God humbled himself to come down here to live in this trash and in the stink and in the smell and to walk through this world and to never sin. And on that Mount of Transfiguration, when Elijah and Moses showed up, Moses would represent the law. Elijah would represent the prophets. So you've got the law and the prophets, the entire Old Testament. When they were there, Jesus had done the job. He could have looked around at Peter and James and John and said, I've shown you how to do it. I'm getting out of here. That was his. There it was. It was right there. At the Mount of Transfiguration. He transfigured. He was metamorphosized. And he, in all his glory, they saw him. He glowed so much that the Bible, the language says that his clothes were glowing, not from the clothes, but from the light coming through the clothes, because he was transfigured right before them. He could have just lifted off and said, man, it was a tough one. Whew, I'm out of here. If any of you make it, I'll see you there, man. Just be good. Just really be good. How many would you make it? Let's say, yeah, none of us. Because we've all sinned. You say, man, I'm a sinner. Well, you're in good company. I don't mean to insult anybody here, but you're sitting in the midst of murderers and adulterers. You feel better? All of us. Because of our hearts, because of our nature. We are above nothing. The difference between us and many of the people on death row is they got caught. We are certainly capable of doing the very same things. We pretend like we're not. But we are. And Jesus knew it and came to die. So that you wouldn't have to be good. If you're trying to be good, you're miserable. It's not real. You're kicking yourself. Everybody else is putting you down. And you're a miserable individual. But if you're trying to walk with Jesus by His strength, there's a peace. There's a joy. He said, man, I've blown it for the last 30 years. Well, the good news is there's today. His mercies are new every morning. You say, but you don't know what I've done. I say, I don't need to. Jesus said, I don't care where you've been. I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There is no sin you can imagine that is stronger than my love. And it's all yours. If you'll come home to me. He doesn't care where you're coming from. He cares where you're going.
Well, see, I've blown it just recently. Then today's the day to come home. You say, well, I've been born again for 20 years. Then today's the day to just give your heart back and walk. You say, it's too easy. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't it be gross if we had to ride a donkey pregnant 90 miles? Not a pregnant donkey, but a donkey pregnant. I'm glad he made it too easy, or I couldn't do it. So they said, let's go see. And verse 16 says, they came with haste and they found Mary and they found Joseph there in that cave. And the babe was lying in an animal feeding trough, just as the angel said. They knew him right away. This is God. How do you know? He's in an animal feeding trough. Boy, it stinks in here. Well, that's him. Wouldn't that help your faith if you were Joseph or Mary? I mean, nobody knows the baby's been born. And shepherds, stinky, smelly shepherds come running in. Where is he? Who? God. Wait, how did you know? Angels showed up out there in the field and told us, and we would find him in a feeding trough. There he is. Got to be God. Can we look at him? Do you mind? Imagine how Mary must have felt. Whew. Lord, I don't know what to do now. I got a baby. I'm trying to keep him clean. It's stinky in here. Shepherds come in and say, we want to see the Lord. We want to see our Savior. Imagine how that must have strengthened the faith of this little girl and her husband, Joseph. God does that to you, doesn't he? You know he does. Every once in a while, he'll let something happen and you'll go, oh man, God is good. Of course, then something else happens and you go, how's it going? Oh man, I'm under attack. Ain't God good no more? Oh yeah, he's still good. I forgot that part. But every once in a while, God allows something in your life. Strengthen you just enough, and you go, whoa, thank you, Lord. Thanks for that reminder. Ah, I can go on now. Let's walk. Right? This must have been strengthening for Joseph and for Mary. I'm sure it was. And verse 17. And when they had seen the baby, when they seen all this, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Hey, some evangelists now besides the angels. And the shepherds, nobody is interested in them. The shepherds went and they made this known all over the place. Every place they went, they told people, man, an angel appeared to us, said we'd find God laying in an animal feeding trough. And I'm not kidding you, man. We went, we looked, and we went through some stables, and we found him. He was brand new born. That's the Savior. He's the Messiah. King of kings. And all they that heard it wondered at these things, verse 18, which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary knows. Mary remembers how she got pregnant, even though nobody believes her. Mary knows what God has promised to her. And now here the baby is born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds came in saying, angels told us, from heaven, told us how to find you. And Mary kept it in her heart. She's going to receive some bad news later, but we won't go to that today. We'll just keep it this way. And the shepherds, verse 20, returned, glorifying God, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. They went out just praising God. That's the story. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Without his birth, there could have been no death or resurrection. One of the foundations of the Christian faith, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Does God love you? He loves you so much that he was willing to humble himself and to be born in that kind of atmosphere amongst animals while the whole city ignored him. God showed up. And you notice it hasn't changed today. He's still ignored in most cities, Jesus says. There is no room for him still. But there can be room in your heart. Of course, you know that. You say, I'm too much of a sinner. And no, Jesus says, I came lowly. And you notice when Jesus is going to show himself publicly as the King of Kings, he's going to lowly ride down on a donkey. So you're good enough for him. You'll never be good enough for heaven. But you're good enough for God. He loves you. He gave himself for you. He paid the price. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Let's bow our heads.